Let me take the graphics and visualization stories together because they connect in interesting ways. The Gaussian Splat Tour of Grace Cathedral scored 184 points with 43 comments. For listeners unfamiliar with Gaussian splatting, it's a 3D scene reconstruction technique that represents a scene as a collection of three-dimensional Gaussian distributions, each with color and opacity properties. The result is a photorealistic, navigable 3D environment generated from a set of photographs. The Grace Cathedral implementation is genuinely beautiful. The cathedral in San Francisco's Nob Hill neighborhood is visually stunning in conventional photography, and the splat representation captures the stained glass light in a way that's striking.
The Shinjuku Station in 3D Story is related, scored 233 points with 52 comments. Shinjuku Station is the busiest railway station on Earth by daily passenger volume, handling around 3.5 million passengers per day across its dozens of platforms and multiple interconnected rail lines. The 3D visualization uses 3JS and is genuinely useful as a wayfinding tool because Shinjuku is famously disorienting even for frequent visitors. This is a case where 3D visualization has practical value beyond aesthetics.
The screen space ambient occlusion piece, Corners Don't Look Like That, is a 2012 article from Sean Barrett that's resurfacing on HN Today with a 174 points and 72 comments. The reason old articles resurface on HN is usually that they've become relevant again, and the context here is that SSAO remains widely used in real-time graphics, even 14 years after this critique. Barrett's argument is that conventional SSAO implementations systematically darken edges and corners in a way that doesn't match how light actually behaves in physical spaces. The visual artifacts have become so common that many graphics artists and gamers have internalized them as how 3D looks, which is an interesting case of a technical error becoming a perceptual norm.
The Jellyfin founder departure story is the open source community story of the day, scored 261 points with 212 comments. Jellyfin, for context, is an open-source media server. It's the community fork of Embee that launched when Embee went partially proprietary in 2018. Andrew Rochmajer, the founding developer, has announced he's stepping back from the project. The forum post is careful and relatively measured, but the HN comments range from people expressing genuine gratitude for Andrew's 8 years of work to debates about project governance and what happens to open source projects when founding contributors leave.
The governance question is the substantive one. Jellyfin has grown into a major project with millions of users, and the founding contributor stepping back creates a leadership vacuum that the remaining team will need to fill. The history of open source projects shows a wide range of outcomes in this scenario. Some projects find new leadership and continue to thrive. Others fragment or stagnate. Jellyfin's advantage is that it has an active contributor base and a strong community rationale for existing. The alternative, Embee's paid model, creates ongoing motivation for people to maintain the free alternative.
The running doom on our custom CPU story is the kind of hardware meets culture piece that HN loves, scored 85 points with 19 comments. The author built a custom CPU architecture, not a commercial processor, but a ground-up design, and then got Doom running on it. The specific achievement of running Doom has become a community benchmark because the 1993 id Software game has been a standard target for porting to unusual platforms for decades. The significance isn't the game itself, but the engineering challenge of getting a complete program with graphics, sound, and input handling to work on a processor you designed yourself.
Arduino's plug-and-play long-range sensor modules deserve a mention, scored 26 points with 9 comments. Arduino has been steadily professionalizing its product line beyond the hobbyist market, and long-range sensor connectivity, the modules appear to support LoRaWAN-style communication, addresses a real gap in the IoT prototyping space. Getting sensor data from a remote location to a processing system without cellular connectivity has always required a lot of custom RF engineering. And if Arduino's modules make that accessible at the prototyping level, it opens up project categories that were previously too technically demanding.